The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. Here ends the reading.
One of my first vehicles I ever had when I turned 16 and got my license was a 1964 cobalt blue Chevy stepside pickup truck with a 350 powerhouse in there with a four-barrel carburetor on it. The only thing that truck would not pass is a gas station. It would flat run. I mean, it would run. Three-speed Hurst shifter, and the guy that had it before me had taken and put dual exhaust on it with these Roadrunner glass pack mufflers on the back of them. Now, all you guys that know what the Roadrunner glass pack muffler is, you know, it's, look, Dean's got his hand up. They didn't do anything. They just made it sound mean. Oh, did they make it sound mean, and oh, it was great. And when my father and I went to really get this truck, I'm excited. And I walked to this guy's barn lot, and there sets this truck, and it was like, oh, wow. I didn't care if the price tag was $1 million. I was buying that truck. And I was just standing there. My dad's asking all the important questions, you know, has it been in an accident? Has it got this kind of problem, that kind of problem? I'm like, oh, I just need that truck. I got to have that truck. And then we took the truck out for a drive. And as we pulled out of the driveway, it was like, and the wheels just spinning, and I was flying down this country road, and I'm like, oh, I got to have this truck. Got back there, and this guy asked for this exorbitant amount of money. He wanted $500 for that truck. $500 at 16 years old. He wanted my right arm. But I bought that truck. And my dad looks at me, and he says, son, I'm going to drive it to the house. I want to make sure it's safe. You take the family country squire station wagon with the authentic wood grain laminate paneling on the side and drive that to the house. And I'm like, oh, no. My dad's taking my truck. I'm going to be, you guys are looking at me thinking this is an episode of the 70s show. It happens. My dad was going to make me drive a station wagon. I can't look at you because you still drive a little old lady's car. A station wagon, Paul. He was going to make me drive a station wagon. I get home and, my dad, he pulls in the driveway. In fact, my dad slides my truck sideways into the driveway. And I'm thinking, oh, here it goes. I'm driving the country squire. And he says these words to me. He goes, truck's got a little bit of power to it. And I said, it sure does. He goes, you know, some tires are bald. And I'm thinking, okay, here it comes. Country squire, I'm no longer going to be the cool guy in the truck. I'm going to be driving the country squire. And my dad said these words, I'm going to take it down and I'm going to get you a brand new set of tires put on that truck. I want it to be safe. 16, I was stupid. Quote you this morning. I saw 5 minutes and 5 feet in front of me. New tires. All right. Life's going to be good for me. Little did I realize my dad was a lot smarter. He realized that new tires would show how many times his son was out spinning the tires off of his truck. Me and my truck had a short relationship. Very short relationship. You only have to receive one phone call from your uncle, who's the chief of police, and say, hey, we clocked your son doing 125 to realize that I was destined to drive a Ford Pinto from that point on. Life in the fast lane. I spent that time driving that truck, and I was enjoying it. I'd get in there, and something Dave will know all about, it had an authentic footprint gas pedal. I was cool. Greatest truck in the world. but I lived in the fast lane. And as I was living in the fast lane, I made terrible, terrible decisions. Terrible decisions. And my dad knew that I was going to make those decisions. He knew that I was going to spin those wheels and I was going to do things that I really shouldn't have been doing. That I wanted to be the cool kid in town. Now, I don't know how cool you can be by driving a Chevrolet, but I guess you can be. I tried my best. Look what I turned out to be. A preacher who drives a Jeep and probably never goes over the speed limit. No footprint gas pedal. No squealing tires. It's hard to squeal the tires on a four-cylinder. I've tried. I've had to slow down life. Had to realize I was zipping past things. I was missing things. Today's text, we see a lot of us have always read this text, and we really think about an oxen and the load that, you know, we put on an ox and it, you know, that yoke together, that big, heavy, burdensome wooden piece that you link together. And Jesus tells us that we're going to link ourselves to him. But today I want to look at it as a little different, how we're in the fast lane and how we're so unevenly yoked in our lives. And before anybody gets mad at me and throws rocks at me or anything else, remember, I'm not talking to anybody in particular. I'm just telling us how we're all unevenly yoked at times. Thomas Kreder, in an article he wrote for the New York Times called The Busy Trap, put it this way. If you live in America in the 21st century, you've probably had to listen to a lot of people tell you how busy they are. It's become difficult for this response when you ask someone, how you doing? And they say, I'm busy. Busy, busy, busy. Kreder goes on to say this. Busyness serves as a kind of a hedge against emptiness. Obviously, your life cannot possibly be silly or trivial or meaningless if you are so busy, completely booked, in demand every hour of the day. We're busy because of our own ambition, drive, or anxiety, because we're addicted to busyness and dread that we might face in its absence. The worst thing in the world that's ever been invented, no matter what anybody says. The worst thing in the world. Normally, Sunday mornings, this lays on my dresser at home. But today, it's a prop, and I'm telling you, It's all kinds of stuff. There's Lindy giving us the peace sign. I can check Facebook. I can check. Oh, look. Somebody just sent me a text message. Oh, it's Sylvester. He says, I know you're probably in worship, but text me when you get this, and I'll meet you in Viola later. I'm in worship, and another pastor wants me to text him. Not just another pastor, the district superintendent. The district superintendent of all people. The guy that knows what I'm doing at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We ought to. We ought to. Hi, Sylvester. The whole congregation wave at him. And I'm... Hang on a minute. Am I lying to them? What does that say?
Terry, I know you're probably in worship, but text me.
We're going to have a conversation about that one later when I see him. We all are so, we're so yoked to that thing, aren't we? We're yoked to being part of that technology and things. How many of you this morning when you got out of bed checked your email? How many this morning when you got out of bed you checked Facebook? How many of you before you get home today, you're thinking about, I need to check my Facebook or my email, or I've got to text my kids? You'll say, that's a whole nother counseling session right there. As we go right along through that, we get so unevenly yoked in things that we tend to forget about what's important. You know, we've had to pass laws in America that... You can't use this stupid thing while driving. Well, how dumb do you have to be to realize that you can't drive and use this at the same time? Now, somebody needs to call Kathy and Viola. Oh, I just got another text message. Thanks, Mark. As we... As we go along here, we think, okay, I'm at the Iowa side of the world, and as long as I don't go across this bridge, I can still drive and text you. So I'll go the long way around so I can text you. We become slaves to this thing. The other things that we become slaves to throughout our day, and I know you have lots of kids, so don't think I'm talking about you. We chase our kids constantly, do we not? I've heard people say the words, I pass myself while I'm taking my kids somewhere else. Have you realized that in the last 20 years, fast food has doubled in business? Remember when most of us were kids, there was maybe one McDonald's around? Now you have a choice of which place you want to eat processed food because it's fast, except the McDonald's in Galesburg. That's where it's slow. Really slow. It takes time there. And don't even get me started on the Wendy's. You can just sit there and just age. Paul grew his beard just the other day sitting there waiting for Wendy's. But we get so unevenly yoked there. We're so busy and we're chasing our kids and things. And we want our kids to be involved in things. And again, I'm not picking on the All House family because, well, you guys are just a target in the front row. But we'll talk about the others that are here. Let's think about back whenever sports were not held on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. The only way we're ever going to claim that back, folks, is if we stand up and look at the coaches and the people that lead these leagues and say, we're not going to be there, and neither of us are kids. One family can't do that. It takes all the families. Pretty soon, when you don't have all the kids to play the sport, then the sport doesn't happen. We're unevenly yoked. We allow the school to dictate what time we give back to God. The sports organization, what time we give back to God. We allow them to unevenly yoke us. And God's standing over going, look, I got an easy load over here for you. And you're going, oh my God, I got to get there. Oh, let me get my phone out. I got to text somebody. Have you done this one, Angie? Text your father and tell him we're on our way. We do it. We drive down the road. And my wife's not electronic savvy by no means. She'll say, and she's got the same phone I do. And she'll... And by the time I get it back, the email's changed. I got status updates that I didn't know I did. Text messages sent out to people. And then the dreaded face goop. There's always face goop on my phone when she gets done with it. That's why I grew a beard. So when I use my phone, I can wipe away the face goop. Unevenly yoked. It's so hard for us to realize that. That we allow our busyness of life to stop us from Christ. We are so busily yoked. Now today we're doing a great thing by helping out at the Viola Church. But the first question I have is why do you want to pull people out of worship to come and serve a meal for you? Then they're not going to have worship. It's a great opportunity to help out, be connected to another church. But you're taking people from worship. And when I talked to the lady the other day, I said, why don't our people come early and worship with you? Oh, no, it's okay. They can just come and prepare the meal. Where's God in this equation? We tend to erase God out of our thoughts. Have you ever done this one? And King Carney, I know you're guilty of this. You are walking through the department store and you have 22 items in your basket and the sign says 20 lines express lane and you give it a quick survey. I'm going to the express lane because I'm so busy. I'm so busy. And when you get to that express lane, you realize you're not moving any faster because the same people are working there. They're still slow. You're not speeding through nothing. You just think you're speeding through it. Today you need to learn to unplug from society. Today's lesson is about coming out of the fast lane. Don't be totally miss in life. As we have our children as examples for us right now, think about all the times that we've attended the sports events. We've done this, we've done that. We've rushed here, we've rushed there. We got to go here, we got to go there. We got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this. We're setting an example for our children to realize that everything else comes before God. Everything else comes before God. We teach our grandchildren that same thing. We tell our grandchildren, I'll be there this time, I'll be there that time. I'll just skip church. I'll just skip church. Or the dreaded words that many, many people say, I can worship anywhere. Yes, the Bible says that you can worship God anywhere you are, but it also says you've got to have the fellowship of the community to be able to properly receive the worship of God. The fellowship of the community doesn't mean laying in your bed on Sunday morning watching reruns of TV and saying that I'm worshiping God. Washing your car, washing your boat, going camping, going hiking, going biking, whatever you're doing, if you're not spending time in the presence of the Lord, you're lying to yourself and you're unevenly yoking yourself. It's amazing that when we unplug from society just a little bit and we take this thing and we turn it off and we tell the district superintendent, I'm in worship, life gets a little easier. Everyone who's a brain surgeon in this room, raise your hand. Everyone that's a cardiac doctor, raise your hand. Anyone waiting on an organ transplant right now? Then everything can wait. Everything can wait. Those commercials that you see on television where it says this was the last word somebody said before an accident. Goodbye, love you. Things like that are text, and somebody ends their life. They wish they could back that up. Same thing you need to back up when you unevenly yoke yourself with society and you put everything into place before you put God into your life. I've laughingly joked many, many times throughout my career in ministry these words. 59 minutes is worship and 60 is an hour. And it's so true. Because majority of people will look at their watches, their phones, the clock on that wall, and they will check and see how long the pastor stood and talked. You're not in worship. You're in busy mode. You're missing out. You're unevenly yoking yourself. Interesting thing, if you've ever seen a team of oxen or a team of horses or anything that are unevenly tied together, there's no way you can have a straight path because things will get curved, automatically get curved. It's just nature. If you're not evenly yoked with Christ, you're going to curve off the path of where you need to be. And you got to be able to bring yourself back to focus and really experience what God has to offer for you. I have to ask you this question right here. Matthew 7, verse 3 says, why do you see a speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? When you see everyone else skipping church and everyone else turning their back on God and doing things like that, you might want to walk up to the mirror sometime and say, wow, I've done the same thing. Or I'm in the process of doing the same thing. Or I plan on being in that process. Realize that when we separate ourselves from God, it's not just our neighbors, it's us. Please stand and join us in our closing song. Heavenly Father, as we go forth today, Lord, I ask you to come upon us and help us to realize that all the things in life that have us so unevenly yoked, that we realize that we need to put them aside and pick up your cross and carry it along beside you, Lord, so that we can experience life and all it has entailed for us. In your Son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.